So I felt like it was time to record a podcast. I was talking about podcast tonight with some guys, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, it's been a while, which was on purpose, very much on purpose. But yeah, I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, hey, go for it. So maybe there'll be more. Maybe this will be like a one-off, and it might be another couple months. I have no idea. But yeah, and it's interesting too. This is probably quieter than the other vehicles I was recording this in while driving. My truck was really loud. There was a horrible squeaking noise in a lot of those podcasts from the last several months. And then, the vans were extremely loud as well. So this is probably better sound quality. Anyways, yeah. There was a situation that happened yesterday, and it was interesting. In the last 6-7 months, you know, it's been a trip, man. Like, learning how to, like, you know, go about the whole process of, like, dating and being engaged, and then we're getting married in a couple months. There's been so many different, like, mental, emotional, you know, challenges and different things like that. As far as, you know, I feel like I've focused on a lot of different stuff. And I've worked through a lot of different stuff. A lot of it's just been, like, seeking the Lord. That probably makes it sound like there was a ton of problems. There really wasn't. There was, like, very little conflict at all, which is crazy. Like, Maggie is amazing. Oh, my God. That woman is a blessing. I love her. She is, man, she is, like, oh, my gosh. She just, like, is such a manifestation of the love of God to me in the way that she just, the way that she is. Oh, my God, she's amazing. But that being said, I haven't done a ton of, this is what I was getting at, I haven't done a ton of street evangelism type stuff in the last, you know, basically since her and I started dating. And it's not a bad thing. I just really had to, like, seek the Lord and spend time with God and figure out, you know, what does this look like now to be doing life with this other person and so closely connected with her and involved in her life? Because now she's my, the ministry that I have, you know, it's not, you know, it's not just me out doing stuff with people. Now it's, she's, so it's the Lord, like, it's first between, you know, myself and God, you know, for me to know him and to seek him and to be in relationship with him. But then second, it's her. So learning how to do all that in a healthy way, you know, and still running my business, and I shouldn't say that, I should just say working, because it makes it, not everybody runs a business. Most of us, we all work or go to school or something, you know, but learning that new balance, you know, structure, is different, man. It's really different. And even though the relationship's been amazing, like, just, I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, ah, God is amazing. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. But even with all that, you know, things going really well, there's been a lot of challenging things emotionally and things I've had to work through. So I haven't gone out and been praying for a lot of people in public. I still have, not nearly as much though. All that being said, I wanted to share this thing that happened yesterday. I went into a gas station, and I had been driving for a couple hours. You know, I'd gotten like 3 hours of driving, and I went to St. Cloud to do an estimate for someone's gutters and pick up some stuff and come back. So I was worshiping that whole way. I was listening to like lo-fi beats, you know, which is just instrumental kind of rap beats where there's no words on them. And I was just worshiping God and praying in tongues and praying over the land and doing communion and all sorts of things. When I say praying over the land, I mean like just, Father God, I bless this road and everybody on it, and I bless this city. That's all I mean by that, is just intercession for what's around me. And truck's beeping at me. Yeah, so anyways, I got back and I went to this gas station, and I was thinking too, I'm like, man, I feel like this is a good opportunity, you know, to go and share Jesus with somebody. And so I went in and said hi to the clerk guy or whatever, and I start walking around the back to go to the bathroom, and I felt like the Lord told me it's his back. You should pray for his back. And I was thinking in my head, I go in, I'm going to the bathroom, and I'm like, Lord, I feel like it's always their back. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I feel like you're always telling me it's a back or something. And it's like, I don't even know if it's you. And I'm like, because I hear so many testimonies about stuff like that. So I'm like, am I just making this up in my head? And the Holy Spirit kind of stopped me. And it wasn't any condemning thing, but he was like, Jordan, he's like, when's the last time you prayed for somebody's back? And I was like, man, that's so true. How would I even know? You know? So I went out there, and this is crazy. So as soon as I went out there, there's this guy, different guy than the main clerk guy. There's another guy he's talking to who's also works there. And he's going on about all these problems with his back. And I'm just like, dude, this is crazy. Like, are you kidding me? And I hear this guy. So I grab my stuff and I go over and I'm like, hey, man, I'm probably scared a little, you know, because I feel like I looked kind of intense or something. I don't know. And I'm like, hey, man, were you having problems with your back you talked about? He's like, yeah, I had this and this, and I crashed my Ford F-150, and I totaled it, and the brakes went out, and I'm this and that. And it was a year ago, and I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm like, Jesus loves you, man. Can I pray for you for healing? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, Father God, I just bless his back, be totally healed, be free of pain, be completely aligned in Jesus' name. Whatever it was, you know? And I talked a little more, and it was like, have a nice day, you know? But I don't know if anything significant changed. It didn't seem like it did. I feel like he would have lit up and went crazy if it did. I didn't really feel like I should ask. Maybe I should have. But still, it was like, whoa. And I've been listening to this school series thing by this guy, Dan Moeller. Crazy good, solid biblical teaching. It's actually how I got saved, listening to those videos. And then getting to spend time with God and you know, really talk to him like alone in the secret place, you know, even when I didn't believe it was, you know, like Jesus was real. So, yeah, that was just kind of a cool short thing I wanted to share. And like, I haven't been on here in like 2 months. So, I'm trying to think of other things that have gone on in the last couple months. But I can't really think of anything at the moment. So there's kind of a lot of talking in between all sorts of things in there. Gosh, there was a thing. This is crazy. So this is from the book of Acts. And basically, this has been since last week. There was a guy, real crazy guy, crazy, like on fire for Jesus, not crazy in a bad way. But I was at my buddy Josh Couch's wedding. And his uncle, Russ Couch, was there. And I'd been wanting to meet this guy since the day I heard about him. I talked on the phone with him and this and that, but he lives, you know, in, like, Missouri. So he lives a ways away. So this guy, you know, at one point, he was like a murder detective kind of guy. So he would bust people. There was a guy cutting people's heads off in Texas. People'd pay him $50,000, $100,000, something like that. And this guy would, you know, if you gave him that money, told him to do it, told him the person, he'd go kill that person, cut their head off, and then bring you the head. So Josh's uncle, Russ Couch, he went out, you know, found this guy on a black market website, and then busted him. You know, basically, you know, he set up the deal with the guy. He's like, hey, here's some money, but I need to know that you can actually cut this person's head off. It's important to me. He brings him out to where he's got some other bodies of people that were beheaded, and then they bust him. And then on top of that, this guy, Josh's uncle Russ, he also has like a $1 million cattle operation, like tons of cows he's buying and selling and all sorts of stuff. And So really interesting life things, you know, nothing to do with Jesus. But I'm like, this guy just sounds like an interesting guy, you know? And so he got radically saved like 14, 15 years ago. I think he grew up in church, but somewhere around that time, you know, he got like his life rocked by Jesus. Now the guy's crazy evangelist, prophetic kind of guy. And he's got a church going with like 50 people. But I'd been wanting to meet this guy forever. So I found him at the wedding and I went and talked to him. I was talking to him for like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, I got to go get my fiance. I just left her. So I went and got Maggie. I felt bad. I should not have done that. I should have got her right away. But you learn stuff. And his wife was, oh man, she's just lit up. She's on fire also, you know. So Maggie sat and talked with his wife. And they're older, you know, they're closer to 70. And he's telling me all these stories, dude. He's telling me about this guy he prayed for I think it was in a McDonald's, you know. And the guy's a witch. He's like, you can't pray for me. You know, I practice Wicca. And he's like, man, Jesus loves you. You know, like, just let me pray. And if God doesn't speak to you, fine. But if he does, man, well, there you go. So he lets him pray. And the guy begins to levitate off the ground, like, not way up there. You're talking 6 to 8 inches off the ground in this McDonald's. Like, it's crazy. And the guy's freaking out. He's like, put me down, put me down. So the guy stops, Russ stops praying. And he's like, why'd that happen? He's like, that wasn't me, man. That was Jesus, you know? And so he starts praying again and lifts up off the ground. It's nuts. And then the guy, the Wiccan guy himself, didn't get saved. He's like, man, I don't want this. I don't know what's going on. I'm just freaked out, you know? He's like, I don't know what to believe. And, but then his buddy got saved, but I imagine that Wiccan guy, he ended up getting saved too, you know, just a weird thing. And, he was telling me other stuff, people getting slain in the spirit in gas stations and things like that. And it's not just to have a cool manifestation. It's to bring people into intimacy with him. It's because he wants people to be in relationship with him. He wants people to be free. He wants people to be like it was in the garden before the fall of man. He wants our best life for us in Christ, where we have relationship with him. Relationship with God the Father, relationship with the Holy Spirit, relationship with Jesus, so we can shine and be a blessing on the earth, man. To bear much fruit, to bear a whole bunch of fruit in the kingdom of God, man. Yeah. I don't know if I had any more with that guy. Oh, dude. There was this verse. Gosh, where was it? I believe it was in John 4. It's Jesus talking to the people. I might take you on a little trip here with some different verses that kind of go together. But this guy, Josh's uncle Russ, he said this verse to me. And one second. We're going to find this. I think it's important. He basically is, Jesus says to him, to the people, he's like, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. It's in John 4 or John 5. Look it up. Google it. Google those words. You'll find it. I can't find it now, but that's been ringing in my head. When he said that, I was like, holy cow, because we were talking about the power of God, you know, and it's for salvation, but in every way. Salvation is in regards to you giving your life to Jesus. Yeah, getting born again. And becoming a new creation, not just in your spirit, but your whole life changing, being dead to sin and alive to God, man. Living like Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall, man. Like that's what he wants. That's what the power of God's for, man. Bringing us into relationship and intimacy with him. There was another thing, dude, This was in, might have just killed my battery. I'm not totally sure. Wait, we'll get her figured out. One sec here, guys. There we go. Oh, this was in Acts, dude. This was in Acts. Another thing just involving, like, the power of God, right? He's talking about, gosh, I believe it was Philip. I got this part underlined, so I should be able to find it for you guys for sure. Yeah, it was in Acts 7. This guy goes on a real long preaching session. I'm pretty sure this is Philip talking. And he's talking about Moses, and he says, "This man led them out of Egypt after performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Talking about Moses, right? And then Jesus goes and lives his life and does the same thing. So there's something very significant about the power of God, like the active, real, tangible power of God. God is doing something supernatural, God works and does that to bring people into relationship with him. Like, that's how people get saved, delivered, and healed. There's a verse, it's tattooed on my arm. It's 1 Corinthians 4:20. A lot of people think it's just a funny tattoo, so I have 4:20 on there, but it's really not at all. It's one of the most... It's exactly what we're talking about here. But I'll come to you soon if the Lord's willing, and I'll find out not just the talk of these arrogant people, but evaluate their spiritual power, whether they live up to their own claims. For the kingdom of God is not based on talk, but on power. Over and over again. You see it in the New Testament, where he's talking about, you know, it's one thing for people to have eloquent speech, but it's another thing for them to walk in the power of God. It's another thing to pray the prayer of faith and see the sick healed, man. Jesus says, if you have faith even as little bit as a mustard seed, you'll speak to this mountain and it'll move. That's when the boy who has epilepsy is having seizures and the disciples can't figure it out. So they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus casts a demon out of him, and they're like, why couldn't we do that? He's like, you know, you didn't have enough faith. This kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. And that's significant, man. So it's never, you know, we can say that all day, but it's never the person's fault who we're praying for. Their own faith or lack of faith. Can their own faith be the reason they get healed when we pray for them? Yeah. But their own lack of faith, is, we can't put that blame on them. Like, if I'm praying for somebody, I've got to take personal responsibility in that moment. If I don't see them get healed, I can't be like, well, they didn't have enough faith. Or maybe God just didn't want them healed. No, it's on me personally. You know, I've got to, in that moment, not get condemned, because nothing that God's saying is like that, and not criticize myself, because nothing God's saying is like that at all. But in that moment, to pray and be like, Father God, thank you. You love me. Thank you. I'm growing up into you in all things. Thanks for being my dad. We didn't see this thing change, God, but I so believe that you're bringing me in to a place in my life where I'll see those things change, and I'll see it often. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for being my dad. Thank you for letting me never get discouraged, God. You're amazing. Your love's awesome. And we just keep going, man. You know, because we can blame God. We can blame God and be like, you know, God, why didn't they get healed? Maybe it just wasn't your will for them to get healed. It's no, man, God wants them healed. If Jesus prayed for them, would they have been healed? They would have been healed. So we just got to keep growing. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop there. But I just wanted to put something on here. So God bless you guys.